Welcome back. This is Mariella Frostrup with The Green Room on Radio 2. In the next hour, we'll be discussing how war, especially in these turbulent times, should be represented in children's literature with authors Elizabeth Laird and Nick Tucker. James Jolly provides a choice of the new classical CD releases, and Sir John Trimmer takes us dancing with the Royal New Zealand Ballet Company here in the UK for the first time. In just a moment, we travel back to the Roaring Twenties with Michael Praed and the golden age of Zelda and F. Scott Fitzgerald, the subjects of a new musical, Beautiful and Damned. But first, let's hear a song from the show. She's over the top, he's under the table.
Gonna make you privy to the story.
Got it from the office now. A college boy from way up north.
Met his Waterloo from way down south. Our hero made his way from Minnesota. He thought he was the big I am.
Till he met a gal,
a southern belle, in the wonderland of Alabama. She was over the top,
he was under the table, putting on a crazy show. Welcome to the party, it's a champagne rodeo. They were living it up way over the limit. Never seemed to give a damn. That boy from Minnesota and his bride from Alabama.
They're gonna be the death of one another.
Take it from a man who knows. Anybody who's done that much booze is on their way to getting caught on toes. Heading down the road and heading missing, looking like the devil's friend. They're way too fast,
it just can't last.
And you wonder where it all will end. She's over the top, he's under the table, putting on a crazy show. Welcome to the party, it's a champagne rodeo. Oh, they're living it up way over the limit. Never seem to give a damn.
And his bride from Alabama.
Everybody loves a happy ending. People want a fairy tale. But I'm sad to say, it's not that way. Even paradise can go to hell. Well, she was over the top, she's under the table, putting on a crazy show. Welcome to the party, the party, champagne rodeo. But we are living it up way over the limit. Never seem to give a damn. That boy from Minnesota.
Inspirational advice on the art of living. She's over the top, he's under the table, from the new musical Beautiful and Damned, which has just opened in preview at the Lyric Theatre in London. It's based on the lives of Zelda and F. Scott Fitzgerald, the A-list celebrity couple of their day, famed for their high living, fast spending and hard partying. Scott, who wrote The Great Gatsby, Tender is the Night, and of course The Beautiful and the Damned, dubbed the 1920s the Jazz Age and proclaimed his wife Zelda as its star. From America to Europe, they sought the good times, but the glittering facade hid alcoholism, debt, infidelity, and illness. The Fitzgeralds were to become the most famous casualties of the age they represented. Michael Praed and Helen Anker star in the lead roles, and Michael joins me now. Michael, I wondered, first of all, how sympathetic you felt towards the Fitzgeralds and their sort of crash-and-burn lifestyle. Were they hard characters to feel pity for?
It's a very good question, because on the face of it, when you read about them, there is a relatively compelling argument that suggests that perhaps they weren't actually the nicest couple at all. In fact, they could have been these rampant egomaniacs, because they did indulge in very curious behaviour, which, when you read about it, you could say, oh, well, that's relatively amusing. I mean, for instance, going to someone's party and then taking a bath in their bath.
Some of obviously very hygienic. I presume that was Zelda.
I believe it was. Woman. Yes. So on the one hand, oh, how much fun is this? But actually, there's another side that goes, you know, I wonder how much they were tolerated, or that behaviour was tolerated. But I suppose if they defined iconography, as it were, because they could very well have been the first, or one of the first couples to embrace that.
The sort of posh and Becks of their day.
I think so. Although, this is not to decry them, but in a different realm. I mean, his obviously was literary, and she was this beautiful thing. And she was also, in her own right, a very talented woman.
Well, I mean, at first glance, they were quite actually an unlikely couple, weren't they? I mean, they were from very different backgrounds. What do you think it was that drew them together? Maybe you can describe the sort of different backgrounds they emanated from.
Well, she came from a fairly well-to-do southern background. Her father was a judge, preeminent judge in the town where they lived. And when F. Scott Fitzgerald first met her, he was in the army in 1918. And he went to a party because he was stationed down in the south. And he was brought up in a very, very upper-class area, but his parents weren't terribly rich. They were rented accommodation. And so he always aspired to become part of his dream. And, of course, that's one of the tragedies and the inherent irony in his life, that actually he, in fact, realized his dream and his ambition. And then it all went tragically wrong. And I think that is, in fact, what generates the empathy or compassion for the man.
And is it true that Zelda was absolutely uninterested in him until he published his first novel and it was a sort of instant hit? And at which point she suddenly thought, oh, yes, I might marry you after all.
Well, I believe there is truth to that, that she said to him, I will be with you on these conditions, that you become rich and famous, and I will devote my heart to you. However, it must be on the understanding that if there's somebody else that I perhaps want to sleep with, then I'm probably or may be doing that, but I want the option to be able to do that. So she had and embraced a hedonistic ideal, really, which even by contemporary standards many people would find illuminating. Going back all those years, here is a woman who has a drive that was secular almost, and as we know, she did go absolutely barking mad.
It's funny because you sound like F. Scott Fitzgerald must have sounded. You sound absolutely fascinated by her.
Well, I am in one sense, because they did have and shared an abiding love. I mean, even when their marriage went all wrong, he still worked valiantly to support her in her institutions, which she wasn't committed per se, but in those days, you know, a room cost more than the Ritz. And he was, to say that he was a rampant alcoholic, which is a fact, is, I think, way too simplistic. It is not that he was one, it was why he was one. We don't explore that in our piece, but I think that's a really compelling story in and of itself, because he was a man who was riddled with his own insecurities. And consider that F. Scott Fitzgerald thought of himself as a literary failure when he died. And he was a rampant alcoholic, and he had to struggle to maintain money to care for his wife and his child. And if anything, it's, you know, a telling indictment on the perils of, as you said earlier, the Jazz Age and the crash. And that,
well, it's a sort of Greek tragedy, isn't it?
Well, it actually is. And that there was no happy ending.
The songs for the show have been written by Roger Cook and Les Reed, and Kit Hesketh-Harvey has produced the book. And there's plenty of talent, obviously, there. But how does the show work? Because it's a fairly, as we were just saying, tragic story. So is it a sort of mixture of pathos and high kicks?
Well, it very well could be. I mean, obviously, you know, when you're telling somebody, we can't tell the entire story of Scott and Zelda. Essentially what the play is really is about, that it's Zelda's journey and how her descent into mayhem is told, but essentially through her eyes. And, you know, as you said earlier, we're in the midst of previews, and it is always an intriguing process, particularly with a new show. And, you know, we're just going through that right now.
It also reunites you with Helen Anker on stage, who you appeared with in Contact. And, of course, Contact wasn't your first musical either. You've appeared in The Pirates of Penzance, Aspects of Love. What is it about musical theatre that attracts you?
Well, you know, there's this... The visceral quality of music is something that doesn't need any articulation. When you hear Frank Sinatra sing Come Fly With Me, the beauties of that man, and his skill was singular, which is that he can sing a song and it goes straight to your heart, straight to that. Now, that's a skill that is from the gods. But music, when it's done right, can, under certain circumstances, really affect profoundly an audience, in my experience, in a way that a play hasn't ever really been able to manage. It is that quality that I love about musicals. I'm also defensive about them because there's this vile, elitist argument about music, musicals and sort of quote-unquote straight plays. And musicals get a bad rap because sometimes the feeling is that they're sort of frivolous. And sometimes they are frivolous. But as an art form, I'm very protective of it because it is a singular one and one that I cherish, actually. But no more so than anything else. But I do get defensive about them.
You had your own period, a sort of decadent period, when you were in L.A. And you were starring in Dynasty. Maybe you didn't notice it at the time, but from other people's point of view, it must seem very glamorous. And I wondered if The Beautiful and Damned contained any sort of cautionary tales that you've already experienced in your own lifetime or seen.
Well, who was it? Marcus Aurelius said, a man's life is what his dreams make of it. I mean, I think then there should have been an addendum to that, which is, and by the way, watch out, because, you know, you'll get what you want, but it might well screw you up. And if that's, I mean, that essentially is, I think, what happened to F. Scott Fitzgerald. And also with them, too, you know, consider a relationship in which a sort of rampant jealousy could exist or coexist within it. I mean, that must be, I mean, if you have two very talented people, not that they were vying for the same territory, except that if that can overlap, and then it further corrupts what is already a corrupted relationship. Scott did go to Los Angeles and was in very good company there, but of course, again, the poor guy, writers were treated as third-rate citizens. I mean, they were paid very, very well for the Times. But again, something else to remind him of how he had so failed, and so failed miserably.
After The Beautiful and the Damned, any thoughts about what you're going to do next? Something perhaps a little more cheery?
I have no idea. Something, let's hope. Please, God.
It's an actor's answer for you. Michael Praed, thank you very much. Beautiful and Damned opens on May 10th and is currently running in preview at the Lyric Theatre, Shaftesbury Avenue. From the fast-kicking Charleston, we move to the pas de deux of the Royal New Zealand Ballet, who are currently enjoying their first UK tour. Performances include a new Romeo and Juliet, danced to the Prokofiev score.